Turn your Bibles now to the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. And I said, Brother Larry, I don't know if he got my Bible or not. And I looked at my sermon for tonight. But did you? Well, well, this is it. Daniel chapter number 3. And this is the story of the three Hebrew children. And those three that we just sang about. If you would stand with me tonight as we read a few verses here in Daniel. Here in the Old Testament, great book of the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Chapter number 3, we'll begin in verse number 1 and read down through a number of verses here. And then have the message tonight. And I think when we get finished, we'll find out it's time to stand for what's right. And just stand for God. And that's what we're going to be dealing with tonight, is time to stand. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and a breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and governors and captains and judges and treasurers and counselors and sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, psaltery, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, psaltery, and the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people and nations and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Look at verse number 8 now. "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of," and it goes through all those different musical instruments again, "shall fall down and worship the image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews," here is the accusation, "there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. That's reading through verse number 13. All right, you may be seated. Now, sometimes the Lord puts us in a place that we must choose, that we're going to stand for Him or that we're going to be silent. And here we are finding in this particular passage, we find that these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they had heard the decree. They had heard what the command was. They knew the idol that was set up, and it was not some little small image over here in the corner. It was a very tall image that had been set up in the likeness of King Nebuchadnezzar, made of pure gold, and the command was that when you hear the music, fall down and worship. And then the accusation, which was a true accusation, came to the king that there was three men that he had put over certain provinces. You'll find that in the book of Daniel, it's very interesting that these Hebrew children that were taken captive out of Jerusalem was carried into Babylon. Many of them became rulers and many of them became very prominent in the kingdom of Babylon because the king recognized that the Lord was with them, and what the king thought was that the gods were with them, and so he put them in certain places of leadership. Well, here in Daniel chapter 3, we find that there comes a time that you must stand for truth. There comes a time when you cannot be silent. There comes a time that you must make your voice heard, and you must have stamina in your life to just do what the Lord said. I heard someone say not too long ago, someone that was not willing to fight was not worth what he was made out of. And I believe that's true when it comes to religious things and things of the gospel and things that are right and holy. I believe sometimes we just have to stand on the right side, and we have to stand where God wants us to stand. And here in Daniel chapter 3, certainly it was a time for these men to make their commitment to the Lord, because they had had an ungodly command given to them. Verse number 5 tells us of that command. When you hear the sound of the music, you fall down, you worship the idol that Nebuchadnezzar has put up before you. That's an ungodly command. That's a command that was given by heathen to these Jews that they could not, in right good conscience, could not bow down toward any golden image or to any idol. So the time for them to stand was when this command was given, because it was an ungodly command. Verse number 6 tells us here that those that would not fall down, they were going to be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And if they didn't conduct themselves like everybody else did. You see, there is there's a struggle going on in our country today. And there is a push in our area, in our country, that everybody just be the same. Don't cause any problems. Don't cause any ripples in the water. Just go along with the crowd. And that's what these three men were told they must do. They had to bow like everybody else. The nations and the kingdoms and the languages underneath the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar was many. And they all bowed down. They all worshipped except these Jews. So their conduct was one that was to be ungodly if they did what they were told to do. They had crowds around them that certainly was was ungodly. Now, verse number 7 says they all fell down. When they heard the music, they just did what they were told to do. Sometimes like little robots, people act, and sometimes as we are told what to do and everybody else does it, we just fall in line and we do it because we're expected to. And here we find these men were not able to do that because they had something in their heart that came from the Lord. And then those around them, they accused them. In verse number 8, wherefore at that time, when they were supposed to fall down and worship, the Chaldeans came and they accused the Jews. And we read on down in these verses, they not only accused them as Jews, but they accused them by name. They called them out exactly who they were: Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Here we find that these men that had been carried away captive by Nebuchadnezzar's army when they destroyed Jerusalem and Israel, now here these men are being told and are being pressured into just conforming and to be like everybody else. If you find over in the first part of the book of Daniel, there was some other things said about these. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And I believe these men also purposed that they would not be defiled with those things around them. In verse number 7, you have where their names were changed. You see, the world always wants to change us. The world always wants to give us another identity. And in verse number 7 of chapter 1, he gave them names. To Daniel, he gave the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, of Mishael, of Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. So they have a Babylonian name given to them so they would blend in the crowd. Only problem was, religiously, they wasn't going to blend. They wasn't going to have that take place in their life. And I just want us to look tonight on in these verses And notice here, there is a time that we must stand. There is a time we may have to stand alone, and we may have to be in the minority, and we may have to be in a smaller group than what everybody else is in. But sometimes God puts us in positions so that we can make His Word very clear, clearly stated and clearly known. Sometimes that happens in our workplace. Sometimes we just have to stand for what's truth and what's right. Sometimes we cannot get involved in what goes on the places where we work because we're Christians and we know that it's just not right. And therefore it makes us stand out and it makes us look a little different. And sometimes we feel, and the world wants to make us feel inferior. But we must realize that it is the Lord that helps us and the Lord gives us the strength. And we're not inferior. We are greatly blessed of the Lord to stand for truth. It's time here to stand because of the principles that were involved in the things that were taking place in Babylon. The Bible tells us back in Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 24, the Word of God reads this way, "Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images." Here I believe these Hebrew young men had been taught the first five books of the Bible, what is called the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That was the books that they held very high in high regard. They have the commandments. They have the will of God for them. They didn't have the completed Bible like we have. And here these men, while they were being raised in Jerusalem and Israel, they had been taught the Word of God. One of the very first and foremost things that the Lord told Israel when He gave them commandments, He said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." One of the very important things that God had for His people, that we are not to have anything between us and God. We're not to have an idol. We're not to bow down. And God told the people of Israel, said, "Don't make a graven image, and it's not to be carved out with hands out of minerals or materials of gold and silver." And even the people that carved with stone and those that were able to carve it out of wood, God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." And I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I believe they understood that. And I believe they had been taught. And so we find in verse number 12, their refusal to bow down to this image that Nebuchadnezzar has made. He says here that the image of gold whose height was 70 cubits. Very tall. And then it gives you the width of it, 6 cubits. Now, a cubic was about 1.5 feet. And so you can do your own figuring there. 70, that's 60. And so that's 60 feet, and then half of that's 30 feet. The thing was 90 feet tall. So it wasn't something over there in the corner that nobody could see. It was an image that was there for everyone. When they entered into that area, they saw that golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has put up, and he says the command is to bow down before it and to worship, and literally to worship him. But in verse number 12, they refused. "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon." He gives their names and says, "These men, O king, have not regarded thee." It says that they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar has placed an image there of himself, and something that he has commanded everybody to fall down. And I'll tell you what, when you read the history, other than what's in the Bible concerning Nebuchadnezzar, he was a very fierce king. He was a king to be feared, because at his command multitudes were destroyed and were killed, and he would be called a ruthless dictator, and he would be listed with some of the greatest, most ungodly men that has ever lived. And he had the power to perform acts upon individuals and destroy them at his wish. And who were these three men that said, "We're not going to bow"? They refused, and they said, "There's no way that we're going to bow down to your image." It is said here that they didn't regard the king or his decree, or it didn't even regard the king. They had no use for him. Of course, these Chaldeans that came and brought this accusation against them, were jealous of the Jews and jealous of what they had been placed over. And now they are bringing up these things to Nebuchadnezzar to infuriate him. And so they said, these men refuse, and they do not regard you. And you'll notice in verse 16 and 18 the response that these three young men had. Now, by the way, these were men, but they were young men. They wasn't teenagers by any means, but they were young men that were willing to stand for truth and willing to stand for the Lord. They were willing to stand out. They were willing to be different. They were willing, if need be, to lose their life because they had been taught the things of God's Word. In verses 16, 17, and 18, I believe are some of the greatest passage and some of the greatest words that are anywhere in our Bible concerning a commitment to the Lord and belief and trust in the God of heaven. Notice what the Scripture says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. Now they're answering the accusations that have been given to them. And they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That just simply means we know our position, we know your position, and we're going to answer you concerning this matter. In verse 17 now, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver. Thank God tonight He is able. He is able to deliver us and to help us. And this was the plea, and this was the words that these men had to the strongest, greatest, mightiest king that had ever been up to this point in time, and was ruler over one of the greatest empires of world history. He says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. And the next three words you ought to underline, but if not. King, we know that God's able. We know He's able to deliver us. We know He's able to take us out of the fiery furnace. We know that He's able to deliver us out of your hand. But if not, notice here the strong statement that they make. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I'll tell you what, those are strong words from weak people. These are Jews that have been carried, they're prisoners, they're slaves. They're under the rulership, they're under the thumb of the greatest, strongest king that has ever been. And they just simply, their response was one that we are just not going to bow. They responded, and it was a fearless response. We're not careful. We're careful in answering you. We know who you are. We know the power that you have. But they had faith. God is able. Thank God tonight He is able. He's able to deliver. He's able to help us. And we may not have to face these kind of issues, but might be before this week is over, there may be a time called to us that we have to stand for what is right. There may be a time in the week that is ahead, and maybe even before tomorrow ends, or even before we pillow our head tonight, a situation could come up in passing someone or doing something at the store. There comes a time, sometimes we just have to make known who we are and who we stand and who we believe. And they had faith, and they said, Lord, or King Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to be careful. We understand who you are. But we have faith in our God and that He is able. And this is a very forceful statement that they give Him, because they said, if He doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to burn. We're still not going to bow, rather. If God doesn't do that for us, we're still not going to bow to your idol. Praise God, tonight there are some times that we just have to stand even if we burn. Read the history of the early church. Read the history of the Reformation. Read the history of early Christianity in Europe that came over to America, even in our own country, of many people that suffered because of their belief in, in a system of study and belief in a scripture that was truthful. And here we find their response was one that was fearless. We're not going to bow. They were faithful, and they knew God was going to be faithful to them. And if God did not deliver them, God was going to take them on to glory. He said, nevertheless, whichever way it is, we're not going to bow. I pray God give me that kind of stamina if I need it. That would be like you and I standing before our president and refusing something that he asked us to do. It'd be like someone in the armed forces saying no. It would be someone that would be very forceful in their attitude towards someone that had authority over them. It would be like us standing before some of the rulers of the world and saying, we're just not going to bow. You know, if the Islamic people have their way, we may have to stand one day. For it is their desire, it is their call, and is their commission and desire in their heart that the whole world fall under Islamic teaching. And that's the jihad. That's the holy war that is going on now. And nation after nation is falling to that. You need to pray for Brother Solomon. He goes back to Nigeria with many fears in his heart. For 8 years, the country has been led and the president has been of Christian persuasion. And this past week, they had a new president placed in office, and he is a Muslim. And he goes there. He said, we knew that if the Muslims, if they started burning churches, that the president would send in the army. He said, it will not be that way now. The slaughter will continue. And so we need to realize that the world is not always what it seems to be on the outward. And just pray that God would help all of us to have a response that doesn't matter what God does, we're still going to trust God. We're still going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 19 of our chapter gives us the reaction of this wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar. Here's the reaction to what they've just said. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wrought to be heated. Here is the response of this wicked king. He now hates the words. And if you hate the words of somebody, then that hatred usually goes over that you hate the person. And the Bible says his visage was changed, or his attitude toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was changed. And the Bible says he was full of fury. He was angry. And who were these little peons that were going to tell him that they wasn't going to bow? And so he, in his hatred and his disgraced attitude that they have spoken to him, he says, heat up the furnace seven times more than it ever has been. He was haughty, and it was uncalled for that amount of heat, because they was going to die anyway. It didn't matter if he heated it up six times, five times, seven times. Just the heat of it where they were going to go to begin with would have killed them naturally. But in his fury and his rage, he gives an unnatural response, which is a natural response for the lost and for the wicked. He always tries to do more than is necessary to destroy God's people, and he becomes very heated in his attitude. And he said, just heat the furnace up seven times more. Well, he couldn't kill them seven times deader. What was the use of that? He wasn't going to destroy them any more than what it was to begin. He wanted to show his authority and his power. In verse number 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. The most mighty men. That meant that was his strongest. That was his greatest. That was his, we heard a few years ago about the Republican Guard in Babylon. That was the greatest warriors that he had, and We have our elite forces in America. They go in and they do the first work, and they're very deadly and they're very accurate in the way that they work. And this is who that Nebuchadnezzar got a hold of. He just wanted to show them he had the power. He just became haughty in his attitude and said, "Well, I'll show you. I'll burn you seven times hotter, and I'll make the furnace hotter, and I'll get my mighty men, and they'll take you to the furnace." And so Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, he commanded the most mighty men of his army. Now that was a mistake, because when they cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, his most mighty men died. God took care of them. In his rage, he destroyed some of his greatest warriors. Was that really necessary? No. Was heating the furnace necessary? No. But Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to know who he was. And he wanted to make sure everybody else, everybody else is watching what's going on. Now, you notice here in our verses that we read, the Bible says that he called in the governors, the princes, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. He had a pretty good crowd there. Nebuchadnezzar was a very wise ruler. Rather than he trying to control all the kingdom that was very huge and very large, he had different people in different areas, and he had a government set up, and those men answered directly to him, and so therefore they had to be as ruthless as he was, or he would just set up somebody else in their place. And so he calls all the captains and all the counselors and all the treasurers and all the sheriffs and all those of government, he calls them in, and they have a problem. There's three men that won't do what everybody else does. There's three men of Jewish ancestry that will not bow down to this idol. And what can Nebuchadnezzar do to save face? He's got to destroy them. He's got to do what he said he would do. These three men were certainly outnumbered by the leaders of the country. But the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter if we're outnumbered. If God's for us, we have the majority. Someone said years ago, me and God's a majority. As long as God's on our side, we have the majority. He'll take care of us. And so they were outnumbered, and certainly they were ordered to bow. They were given their command, and they were watching the liberals of their day and those Chaldeans that had watched Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and later on you'll find they had watched David or Daniel. And they had found the very time. Here's the time that we can accuse them. Here's the time we can get rid of them. Well, there's a lot of things going on today that the devil would like to get rid of fundamentalism and would love to get rid of Christianity, would love to get rid of people like you and I. And he's just watching. And there's coming a time, and there's coming a day, and there's coming a man that will have that authority that can silence us. Where will we be? Where will we stand? What will we do? And so we find that in this particular instance here, the time was to stand because of the principles that were involved. There are certain things we just stand for. There are certain things that you fight for. It's just sometimes we make the statement, it's just the principle of the idea. We stand for right. We stand for morality. We stand for principles of God's Word. And so these young men, they felt it was time to stand. Not only was it time to stand for the principles that were involved, secondly, it was time to stand because of the power that was illustrated here. Verse number 22. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Brother, he had a deadly power. He had a power upon those, even those men. Those that had been the greatest, the mightiest, the best of his army. He has put them in harm's way because you take them and you throw them in the furnace. And when they did that, they were killed and they were destroyed. Psalm number 57 and verse number 6 says, "They have prepared a net for my steps," David said. Sometimes the world prepares a net for us. Sometimes the devil sets us up. Sometimes the wicked one will manipulate things to set us up if we're not careful. And David said, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. In the midst thereof, they are fallen themselves. Here we find that these young men were taken, and a deadly power pushed them and forced them into that flame of fire that burned seven times hotter than it was even designed to burn. The king was astonished when he saw some things in verse number 24. Verse 23 says, and these three men fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then, verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Well, we cast three into the fire, and all those mighty men were destroyed as they did that. And here we find that the king of Babylon, O Nebuchadnezzar, he is disturbed at what he sees. While the fire on the outside destroyed more than the fire on the inside. The heat that came from that furnace destroyed those mighty men of his army. And he is astonished at what he sees. He said, did we not throw three? And he said, yes. Oh, yes, king, that's what you did. You threw Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in. Look at verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Well, thank God for the fourth man. He said, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. They're not burned. There's no problem. And Nebuchadnezzar is observing what's taking place there in the fiery furnace. And his power, he is disappointed now that they're not destroyed. He said, didn't we throw three in the fire? True, king, we did. He said, but there's four down there. You know who that fourth one was? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it was. All you got to do is read the rest of that verse. He says, and the fourth is likened to the Son of God. Now, if you have a version of the Bible that says a son of the gods, throw that thing away. He was the fourth was like the Son of God. And we know who the Son of God is. His name's Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, had heard, and Nebuchadnezzar had learned enough, and he had realized that there was a God in heaven. And he rebelled against that knowledge, and he still wanted to set himself up as the world ruler that would be bowed unto. And here's the monument, here's the idol, here's the image. Everybody bow down. I'm king of the world. I'm the God of this world. And here the power is demonstrated before his very eyes. And he says, there's not three down there, there's four. And another thing is they're not hurt. They're not burned. Why, they should have been consumed with that fire just like those mighty men were. They should have been destroyed before they ever got to the flame, before they were ever thrown in the furnace. And he looks and he finds the fourth, and he makes recognition. The fourth is like unto the Son of God. You know, verse number 15, we didn't read that a while ago, but verse 15, Nebuchadnezzar asked the question, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Why, who is he anyway? Who does he think he is? Who do you think you are? And who's the God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? You see the haughty spirit of this old wicked king. When all was said and done, he found out who he was. He found out that he was the Son of God. And no harm had come to them and no burning upon them. And how disappointed he must have been at the power that was demonstrated by the fourth man. Well, there's been hundreds of sermons preached upon that fourth man. Thank God he's Jesus Christ. He is the one that helps us in times of turmoil and trouble that comes our way. And we may not literally be cast into the furnace of fire, but sometimes we have our feet in the fire. Sometimes the struggles come, and sometimes the difficulty comes, and sometimes we just have to stand because of the principles that are involved, and we have to stand realizing and knowing that God is able to deliver us. And if he don't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. I believe that was the stamina, the desire, and has been down through the years of many, many people. Many Christians that have stood and literally have lost their lives because the cause of Christ. Many people in our own country have undergone much turmoil because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a time that we are to stand, because it's just the principle of the thing, because of the power of God that can be given to us. And then thirdly and lastly, it's a time to stand because of the people that it influences. Everybody around watches. Everybody knows. I'll guarantee you tonight, there are people that know that your house is empty because of where you are. Your neighbors, your loved ones, your friends, they know you're not home on Sunday morning, Sunday night. They know you're not there at certain times because you're down at the house of God. We are to stand for the Lord because of the people that it involves. Those that it influences around them. We need to stand because of an unchanging word. A message that is given to us. God told the people of Israel in Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 1, "Ye shall make you no idols or graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land or bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God." I believe it's time to stand just because of who we are and who God is. It's a time that we need to make right things right and let the world know, because we have a message that tells us to live for the Lord. We have a message that tells us that we're to stand for righteousness and stand for all the things that we've read here tonight, because just simply God tells us, "Thou shalt not." And God has told us and given us even maybe a higher standard. We may not have images that have been made with the craftiness of men's hands and the cunningness of others, but we have sometimes images in our heart, images in our lives, in our minds that stand between us and the Lord. And one day we'll have to say yes or no to them. One day we'll have to make truth and have to realize that there are others that are watching us, and they want to know, where do you stand? You know, sometimes people will ask you a question just to get you in a discussion. They'll ask you about certain things, and they'll ask you, "What do you think about that?" And you know what they're doing. You know they're setting you up. That you know what's being said. You know where they are, and you know what they believe, and they're asking you, "What do you believe?" They already know, but they just want to hear you say it so they can argue with you. So they can make statements and say things that maybe are hurtful and harmful to us, and they know where we're going to be, and they're really, sometimes it gets so close, and sometimes it gets so heated that they really want to know if we're going to stand where we say we will. Politically, all those things, they just want to know. I tell you what, it's time we stand for the Lord. Forget politics, just stand for God. Forget what's right and wrong on what people say, and just stand for what the Lord says. And so we find that there is an unchanging word, and therefore we are to stand because of those around us, the people that it influences. We are to let our ideas, our thoughts, our scriptures be known, so they will understand why we are where we are in our spiritual life. We need to stand because of the unbelieving world. They need to know we're Christians. When this day was over, everybody knew who the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. There wasn't any questions. Because in verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the..." Now his attitude has changed. "You servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." He had seen it, so he believed it. He says, "You serve the living God. You just come, what we would say, just come here to me." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. Now notice verse 27. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. It wasn't done in secret. This time it's open. They saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats charred or changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Pretty good testimony. How did they have that testimony? Everybody said, boy, I'd like to have that kind of testimony. Flip back just a few pages, and we sometimes have to go through the fire. To get this kind of testimony, you had to be where they were to begin with, cast into the fire. And they, all these princes and governors and captains and treasurers and all those men that had gathered themselves to Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, they saw what happened and they saw they were not hurt and they were amazed while not even their hair smelled like smoke. Their clothes had not been changed and they came out just like they went in. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. That is faith in action and God delivering. And he says here, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they would not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Nebuchadnezzar's beginning to see a lot of things going to make a difference in his life. In verse 29, because of an unbelieving world, we need to stand for God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Pretty good victory. Simply because they were willing to stand. Because there is an unbelieving world out there. There are people that when we go out these doors tonight, that we brush shoulders with every day of our life, whether we go to the store or whether we go to work, there are people out there that are unbelievers and they need to see that we believe God. They need to see that we have a relationship with God, that it doesn't matter what anybody says to us and doesn't matter what any threat may come our way, we're just going to do what God says. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had done like most of us, we probably wouldn't have this passage of Scripture. But they were willing. And the key to it is verse 17. Our God whom we serve is able. Verse 18, but if not, we're going to serve Him anyway. If we die, we die. Who was it? Esther was placed in a kingdom for a specific purpose. The queen had, or she had been chosen as queen, and of course we know Haman despised the Jew, and he brought forth a decree to kill all the Jews. And Esther was the only one that could save her people. And the king didn't know she was a Jew, and she kept that hid pretty good. And Esther's uncle, Mordecai, he says to Esther, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And he said, if you hold your peace, your people will be destroyed. There had been a decree given that on a certain day of a certain month, at a certain hour of the day, that every Jew in that kingdom would be slaughtered. It's been that way all through history to the Jew. And the only one that could save them was Esther. And the only time that she could go into the king is if he called her into his presence. She couldn't just go to him when she wanted to. And she was fearful. Who of us wouldn't be? Because if he didn't call her, he could kill her. They didn't have the right kind of relationship like we think about. You just did what was told to do. And she told Mordecai, said, if I go into him and he doesn't hold out his scepter to me, he'll destroy me, he'll kill me. Old Mordecai said, yes, but Esther, for such a time as this, you have been placed in the kingdom. And literally her willingness and her desire, and she said, if I perish, I perish. I'll go to the king for my people. Go home sometime in your personal study. Read the book of Esther. It's a tremendous little short story. A historical account of a young lady that believed God. And tremendous writing. And she said, if I perish, I perish. That's what these three Hebrew children said. We call them children, these young men. They said, if God delivers us, good. If He doesn't, we're still not going to bow. If I perish, I perish. And I pray that would be the backbone that God gives us. Who knows that God would put us in a kingdom for such a time as this? Many, many problems in our country. And I believe God desires somebody to stand for truth and righteousness, to hold the line and to do what's right and to take a stand. Why? Because there's unbelievers out there that's watching us. There's authorities out there that are watching us. There are people that do not believe us. And it is God that can deliver. May God help us to stand just for principle's sake, to show His power, to realize that He is the one, and there are people that are influenced by our deeds and our words. May God help us to be a good, righteous, holy influence upon the world around us. Let's stand together tonight.